Welcome to the Modern Classrooms Project Podcast. Each week, we bring you discussions with educators on how they use blended, self-paced, and mastery-based learning to better serve their students. We believe teachers learn best from each other, so this is our way of lifting up the voices of leaders and innovators in our community. This is the Modern Classrooms Project Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 181 of the Modern Classrooms Project podcast. My name is Toni Rose Deanna, and they, them pronouns, a designated hype person here at MCP. And y'all, I am joined by students, Gen Zers for the win, basically my favorite type of guests. And I feel like this month I'm really just spending so much space or so much time in with students. So I'm really, really excited. So welcome, Brianna, Ayla, and Dulce.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us here today.
Yes. Okay. So again, it's so exciting to be in this space with you. I have a sister who's a Gen Z. She's graduating college and she's so inspiring. And so I'm so excited again to just be in this space with you three. And thank you so much for saying yes to the podcast. I know that we had met back in October, I think. And with y'all's busy schedules and my schedule is pretty wonky as well, we're just now finally getting a chance to meet up. And so before we get started, before I even tell listeners how we got connected, what is bringing you all joy currently? And y'all could just go in any order, whichever one.
Okay, I can go first then. Something that's bringing me joy a lot is currently I'm on my spring break and family time, honestly. I love my family and I love just being here with them. And especially like after the quarter, my school's on a quarter system. So after like the long quarter, it's been, not too long actually, but the quarter, you know, it was a lot. So being here with family, you know, and also it's been really nice out. Currently what's bringing me joy is the weather. I love being outside and it just, so much inner peace, and it's just been great. But yeah, that's currently what's bringing me joy.
And y'all, Brianna, she is a college student, actually. So yay to spring break. I'm sure it's a really nice time to just like chill and do nothing. So thank you again for spending some time during your spring break. But Dulce, you want to go next, and then Ayla?
Yeah, of course. I'm so jealous of the spring break, Brianna. So jealous. Got two more weeks. Recently, what's been bringing me joy is definitely my cat. I recently adopted her. I don't know if you hear in the background, she's probably playing with a toy right now, but she's just like my little best friend. It's just so nice to have like a roommate, I feel like. So yeah, that's what she's been bringing me joy.
Yeah, and she's definitely like playing the toys. We can hear, which is really cute. Basically just saying hey to the listeners as well, right?
So what's bringing me joy currently, oddly enough, is AP Lang. I know it sounds so weird, but I really like writing. So here's the thing. I'm watching Love is Blind right now. And I know it's very controversial. Do you watch too?
Yes, I just watched a reunion, Ayla. And I felt like that was such a waste of my 2 hours.
Was it really? I didn't get to watch it yet.
I would say probably just check out the TikTok highlights. Just my opinion. But if you want to watch, go for it.
Yeah, I've definitely been enjoying Love is Blind. So then I wrote like an argumentative essay about reality TV and stuff, and it's been a whole thing. So Love is Blind and writing about Love is Blind.
Oh, and I bet that's so much fun. I hope you're getting a lot of like evidence to back up all of your claim, because there's so many going around on social media. So yeah, that is so cool. And also listeners, Dulce and Ayla are both high school juniors. So in case you didn't catch that, they're both high school juniors and Brianna is college. So let's talk about it, y'all. Like I attended your session at the National Council of Teachers of English Conference back in, I think it's October or November, one of them. And my colleague Avery and I actually went to your session and we were just like, oh my gosh, this is so inspiring what y'all are doing. Like it was a student-led presentation and everything y'all were saying was like everything that I basically could relate to. And I thought it was so relevant and needed for educators to say. And sometimes typically I would say the same thing, but it won't hold as much weight if a student is saying it, right? And so that's why I was like, I need y'all to be on here so we can talk about the educator's impact in y'all's teaching and learning journey. And so tell us more about who you are and how your teaching and learning journey has gone so far. So like you're high school juniors, and then you're in college, right? So like, how is that going so far? And we'll start, Ayla, if you want to go first, we can start with you.
Okay, period. So my journey is going great. I actually have learned a lot in my junior year, which is this year, because before school was very easy and, you know, I just had it, you know, pretty simple. And I faced like some really unexpected challenges, like with grades and difficulty and everything. And it's taught me a lot about like managing my time or, you know, looking at education from a different perspective than I did before, and just my definition of perfection in school and everything. So that's been a big lesson for me recently. But my whole life, I've always liked school. You know, something a teacher actually told me, like pointed out to me, was that like there's no kid who doesn't like to learn, and it's super true. So like I've always felt myself like, I thought it was weird because I liked school, but I've always liked school, and it's tough nowadays, but I still have my days where I'm super excited to just soak up knowledge.
And Dulce and Brianna, y'all can just jump in whenever y'all want.
I can go next. I would say my learning journey has been very like evolution, like kind of, it's been an evolution and also like some regression. I feel like high school's been a very big lesson for me, especially because of all of the like AP and honors classes that they have to offer, and like all of the rigorous courses and like the academic expectations like imposed on universities. Like now, like freshman year was such a breeze, like just honors classes, and then like now coming into my junior year, almost finishing my junior year, it's like, oh, colleges and universities are going to look at this, they're going to want this, they're going to expect this, and it's kind of like, oh my god, like, it's so much pressure. I feel like elementary school was such a breeze. You know, I was always, like, you know, top, whatever. Middle school, I don't even want to talk about that. That was, like, such a pivotal moment for me, because I think that's, like, the, basically, like, the time where it was, a bit of like regression, where it was just like a bad association with like teachers, and I associated like teachers with learning, and I just had an issue with like the schools. Like Ayla said, I'd always loved to learn, like what, you know, like what student doesn't love to learn, but it was always like the problem with the school. Like I hated school, but I loved learning. It was such like clashed. Now I'm in high school and I just really love, kind of, I love English. It's been my favorite class, hands down, English and history. Always been a liberal arts kind of nerd. But yeah, high school's been like a really big learning lesson. And I actually just can't wait to learn more and know more, because, you know, knowledge is like power. I hate to say like how they do it on those corny posters, but it's true.
All right, I guess it's my turn. My teaching learning career, I think, okay, I'm going to just take it back. I think I want to also talk about like how, like Dulce was saying, that I always like loved learning, and like I loved kind of like being in like in a learning environment. I didn't always like school, but I did always love learning. And then coming to high school, it was, so my freshman year was actually 2020 or like 2019, 2020. So it was like the start of like, you know, the pandemic, and like everything was going to change. Normality was going to be unknown to us. And so basically, after like my freshman year, it was like, okay, like we went online for sophomore year. So a lot of like my high school career, I guess, would like, you could say it was like online. But then like my junior year and my freshman year was when I had like, Ms. Ramirez's class, which she was at, NCTE with us presenting, when I had her class. And that's when I was truly was like, okay, like, I knew I was going to go to college, and I knew I needed to do something with my education beyond high school. But I think freshman year was like, in her class specifically, was when it all clicked. And I was like, wow, like this, like how good does it feel to know, like grapple with text and like actually do really good things with like what I'm learning in school. And so after that, I think I really got into like, okay, like, you know, you have to really try hard and like, you really have to like, you know, do your best in the classes and stuff like that. And then like sophomore year came again online, junior year came, and then, you know, things started happening with our school building. You know, we talked about that at the conference, but there was just like a lot of inequities and stuff like that. And that's when I kind of realized even more where it was like, all right, like, I have a voice that I need to use, and I think this is like a very good way to use it, because it's a place where everybody, yeah, we don't all know each other, but we know like kind of each other, and we all kind of are here for the same reason. So there needs to be like a common like establishment in terms of like, all right, like we all want to do this, right? So we have to work together to get to that point. And I think a lot of that kind of ties with like the teaching and learning aspect. Because not only was I able to like learn from my peers, but I was also fortunate enough to help teach them in terms of like certain aspects and like certain areas and stuff like that. So it was just like, yeah, like teaching and learning is like, it has that like big title, but I feel like we don't realize exactly how much teaching and learning happens on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's the beauty of it, because like it's always happening, even if we don't necessarily like put the name to it. So I think like in a nutshell, my teaching and learning experiences have been like always there with my classmates and my peers from day one. It's just been like more kind of elaborated on as the older we've gotten. So, and then now I'm at the University of Chicago, and I also love it. It's also the same environment, just amplified. I feel like everybody loves to learn. All my classes I've been really enjoying as well. And again, we also do really feed into the idea of like a teaching and learning kind of environment. Like I learn from my peers and they learn from me. And it's just kind of that exchange of knowledge that's like, does this sound corny, but it's really, really empowering.
Yes to all of that, right? Like it's really funny that y'all are saying that it's cringy, the whole knowledge is power, and like it really is empowering, but it's so true, right? It like rings true for everyone. And so I kind of want to go back to the statements that Brianna and Dulce, you both said, and Ayla, I think you kind of like skirted around it, but just the fact that like you hated school, but you loved learning. Can y'all like tell us a little bit more about that? Because I feel like I have a lot of feelings and I could like put in all of my assumptions, but I'm gonna let y'all talk because this is not a podcast about me.
So actually, I don't know about you guys, but I know I started with this like kind of like concept because I didn't know how to distinguish learning and school before. I started to grapple with this concept when we actually started to prepare for the first time we presented at NCTE. And during my junior year, so that was like November of 2021 when we started doing that. And we started reading like a lot of difficult texts that I would have never thought that in my high school years I would have read. We read like Audre Lorde, we were reading like Malcolm X. We were reading just a lot of like, okay, what was that? Kind of moments that in the text, it was just kind of insane. But one of the times, I believe it might have been in, I'm not sure what text it was. Maybe it was in Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire. I'm not sure.
I think it was Precious Knowledge.
Which one was it?
Precious Knowledge?
Precious Knowledge, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Precious Knowledge. It was actually a documentary then. But that's when they introduced the idea of having a dysfunctional relationship with school rather than learning. And that just, ever since then, like, really stuck with me because I was like, wow, like, it's not that a student has a problem with the aspect of, like, you know, having brain candy. It's not that at all. Like, it's never been that. It's just the ways in which we're allowed, like, we're being told what brain candy we should like, or like we're being told you can't have like this certain brain candy, or like stuff like that. And I thought that also, like, the kind of delivery of that information in terms of like what environment it's giving in, or like what kind of, like I said, environment that this information is passed through to the students is just kind of like, wow, like it's not, I guess, the best always. And so students begin to associate that kind of like passageway of information as learning, even though that's not exactly what learning is. So that's why they associate, or in my eyes, that's why they would associate like learning and school together, because it's like, well, I don't like how they're doing it, so I must not like it. But it, the education aspect, the actual learning aspect, is not that at all. And that's where like the mix up comes. And ever since then, I was like, wow, like that's a really good way to put it. And because I really like kind of saw myself through that. And then that's why I was like, yeah, like maybe I didn't always like school, but I did always like having some brain candy and actual candy, but yeah.
Brain candy, so real. I remember when I, again, like it was Precious Knowledge that really sort of like it was like, it made that concrete idea of like, okay, like students really have that dysfunctional relationship with school and it's never with learning. I remember when I was watching it for the first time, I was like, what? There's no way. Like, it was basically a school in California who had previously had like a curriculum with texts from white authors, and then all of a sudden, like, they transitioned to a curriculum with texts that really reflected like their culture, and it was called La Raza Studies. And I remember when they had performed outstandingly well, and when I saw it, I was like, the guy had said, like, students have this dysfunctional relationship with schools, never with learning. Like, they're always eager to learn. They're just never having the opportunity or even the environment and the resources to really appreciate, or not really appreciate, but really excel in their environment because of what they're being given. And when I first, like, heard that, it was like, whoa. Like, it was such a whoa moment for me. I was like, whoa, that's so deep. That hit so close to home for me, especially because I'd been in middle school, like, again, I'm always going to refer back to middle school because that's when the relationship or the correlation between, like, I hate school and me having a bad, like, sort of association of teachers with school, like, really solidified for me. So I just remember realizing, like, whoa, like, that's so true. Like, I never hated learning. I had nothing against learning. I was always curious to learn more, eager to know more, always wanting to find out the truth from history, but I just never had the opportunity to really care for it as much as I could because of what I was learning and the way that the teachers approached delivering the information. It was more of like, ugh, like, I'm learning this for the millionth time again. I'm not learning anything new, and it's just all about dead white guys, and it was like, I'm not learning anything that I could care about or I could use in today's world. So I think that is, like, that idea had really solidified within me. And when I saw it in Precious Knowledge, I was just like, whoa, I was blown away. And it's like, it happens a lot, honestly. It happens to a lot of students.
Ayla, did you want to add anything before I go on my spiel?
Sure. So I think, like, something that also really ties into that is like a culture and climate aspect to it. So, like, schools are often, like, formatted as like jails, and that's how students view them. And it's this, like, or if somebody, like, doesn't like sitting down all day, well, they have to do that for 6 hours or whatever, and they get 5 minutes to walk around at a time. And at my school, they want you to, they do lunch starties, which is crazy, but you can't even, like, walk around that time. So I think it's like, you may enjoy your classes, but that actual building, that place, or being there, and whatever your teachers may be, like, having, you know, you have those teachers that you love, but they're also the ones that you're not too fond of as well. So all of those other aspects that go into it may play a role in just making it enough for you to not want to go at all.
All right. So I'm sitting and processing all of what y'all have just said. And I think y'all are teaching me something as well. Like, I've always known that there's a learning versus schooling, but I guess I've never, like, focused on it or even mentioned it as much as y'all have, which I think is really important, you know, for educators and school leaders to think about. You know, we have this dysfunctional relationship with schooling, and sometimes we, meaning adults, tend to say, you know, like, the kids' behavior or the kids' fault or, like, the parents' fault, right? Like, there's a lot of, like, this whole faulting each other when it's like, no, it's the system that is really failing us, failing everyone, right? And so it's so much easier to say, like, oh, this student can't do this because of ABCD or won't do this because of ABCD. And it's like, it's just easier to do that as opposed to looking at the big picture and being like, yo, actually, let's look at the building. Let's look at the culture of this environment where learning is supposed to happen, but it feels like it's a prison. It feels like everything is just being controlled, right? Like, y'all talked about being forced to eat the type of brain candy that you don't even really want to, right? It's like, here's brain candy for you that you have to do. You have to take it. You have to eat it. And then again, Dulce, what you were saying too, Dulce, like never having the opportunity and resources to really explore and expand and be curious, right? And so this is just, it's a lot to take in coming from y'all, because I know as an educator, this is something that I have been kind of saying over and over again in my head of how students must feel. And then to hear it from y'all, it just kind of, again, confirms that like this thing is happening, right? And so, and y'all also mentioned teachers play a huge role in this, right? And that's why this topic is really all about an educator's impact, because we have three students here who are essentially saying like, teachers can either make it or break it, right? This whole learning journey, this whole teaching journey. And so I actually met Ayla first. Ayla was watching Avery and I play Jenga. And so Avery and I were like really into it. And Ayla was kind of like our cheerleader. And she was like, you know, actually, we're having a session. And that was how we found out about your session. And we were like, oh, bet, we love students. We're going to go to that session because I'm sure what y'all got to say is going to be way more important than what everybody else got to say. And going in there, it was just so, again, amazing, right? So, and to think also that y'all are high school students and college student, right? Because there are like five of y'all, right? Like college students and high school students who were kind of presenting. And so you like praised your teacher so well. And I could tell the support that y'all had with the two teachers who showed up for you at that session. So I guess I don't want to say what the session was about because I may like misword it or misspeak it, right? So like, can y'all tell the listeners a little bit more about the inspiration for that session? Because I know that like, I still feel inspired after so many months.
So I think we can all kind of like elaborate on kind of just taking us back to November, right? But just we can all do a little bit of input because I know that we all had like our own grain of salt to kind of add to like, you know, the big old pile. But kind of just like an overview of what we had talked about at NCTE was kind of how there was kind of this year we focused on how literature can kind of encourage and sort of like an activism sense, I guess, in terms of like with the students and like the teachers, and how you were saying specifically how like a teacher definitely does make or break kind of the environment within the students and like within the classroom and just within the like the journey of learning for students specifically. And for like in our case, for example, with Mr. Ramirez and Steve was actually not our teacher. However, he did help us like train a lot with like the conferences that we attended. And also he was just a great, great, great support system with Ms. Ramirez as well. And they would always just elaborate on the fact that, you know, we're there for each other and like we want to help make a more equitable environment in the school building, because just going further based off of that, there was a lot of over-policing in the high school that I attended and that Dulce and Ayla are at right now. And a lot of the times it was just like, we had actually co-founded a activism group at our school, which is called Student Equity and Leadership. And through that club, we would do like, talks and like workshops and stuff like that in order to kind of like talk about, this is going on. Like, do you know about this? Like, yeah, they're locking the bathrooms. Like Ayla said, they're doing like late passes, like stuff like that. And we would be like, why are they doing that? Or like, we'd have canine searches. Like, why are we doing that? Instead of like kind of really focusing on what the goal of school was, which is to obviously educate the students. It was just more like kind of more of what I believe it was Ayla that said this in terms of like a more like a incarcerate system instead of like, okay, like you're going to school to like learn. And we want to really just highlight the fact that that was actually going on and kind of wanting to break that wall down and be like, okay, like, we need to stop this, and like this is why we need to stop this, because it's not beneficial for anybody at this point. And also, like, we were the future of, like, the students are the future of like the world potentially. So there's no way that people should be okay with kind of like putting a break, I guess, in terms of like what we want to do at like such a foundation part of our lives. So we really just wanted to like kind of more so talk about that and kind of talk about how the impact of our sponsors, which is Steve and Mr. Ramirez, how that kind of really impacted what we were able to do in our school environment and what their support really meant to us. And Dulce and Ayla, I don't know, what do you guys want to add?
Basically, yeah, like that's what we had talked about a little bit at the session. Our session also elaborated on how we had fought for a more equitable environment within our school via going to school board meetings, posting on our Instagram, having these little like talk or what were they like roundtable discussions. We were even featured in our local news outlet, but it was not embracing what we had anything that we had to say. It sort of was very defamatory and slanderous. So we talked a little about that. We talked about how like the hero's journey is so different, more like in Odysseus and I don't know if you guys know Octavia Butler. Well, you guys all probably know Octavia Butler, but we talked about how our journey sort of reflects the storyline that Octavia Butler had written for Lauren Olamina in Parable of the Sower. And we also emphasized how although we didn't win, we didn't like win much, we learned a lot. And I think that was like in the end, the prize of what our work was doing. Obviously like activism work is sort of always going to be a very consistent thing. You always have to remain consistent with it because it's not a like from the day to the next sort of victory. That's what we talked about. We also shared our stories on how it all came to be, how it led up to board meetings, and how our administration responded. So it was very insightful for those who attended. And I'm so glad you came, Tony. Yeah, it was very good to have you guys all there. Very great interactive audience.
Yeah, I was definitely like just fanning, like, oh my God, this is everything I need to hear right now at this moment in life. So what about you, Ayla?
I think, so the overall premise of our session was just basically first talking about like the literature aspect of it. That was kind of what our NCT session last year was about, like the prior year. And then, so giving that little recap, and then talking about how we use that to then make the noise that we did in our school. And, you know, we touched on a lot. So we, you know, just the reactions from everybody, like the principal, and obviously, like Dulce said, the article that was super skewed and defamatory, and just what you can do with your voice and when you know, like, you know, just when you know your power, and then not also that, but unity as well, you know, just being able to, with a group of people who feel the similar ways that you do, the change that you can make, and then also how mad they were, and then like the things that they did, like that's how you know you're like actually doing something, you know. So just like a way that not only you can make that type of change, but where it all started from, you know. I'd always felt this way. I'd never liked things when I saw things going wrong, or things that were happening weren't supposed to be happening, whatever the case may be. So it wasn't until Ms. Ramirez's class, however, that I realized that I actually could do something about it. Well, SEL is when I realized I could do something about it, but her class really helped to point out that there was an issue, because, you know, when an issue is pointed out and you address it, then you're like, okay, I'm not going crazy. Like, there actually is something to fix here. So that was where it all came from, and that's kind of what we talked about in our session, just, you know, that domino effect and how everything, what you can actually do.
And I think coming from, so like I was an English teacher and I taught middle school English, actually. So it's funny, Dulce, that you mentioned like, oh, middle school was trash, which I completely agree. and I love the toxicity of it. So I am all for it. so hearing how literature and your English teacher really empowered you all to find that voice. And then she just like, basically elevated your voices, right? Like, hey, you didn't even know. The thing that I always say is that we don't know what we don't know, right? And I think this is why it's so powerful to read books written by different authors, different people, right? Just so that you can kind of see an insight, a little bit of an insight of what that life could be like. And so it was just, again, like y'all are stating, like, these books that we read really just like opened up everything and allowed us and gave us words to articulate exactly how we were feeling. Like something was off. And we didn't know that up until this curriculum, the books that we read, the conversations that we had really gave us this knowledge and this power to create, to co-found an activism club, right? To even just like continue to advocate for your voices, like for you and your peers. And so one thing that I want to also like hone in on is the fact that like Ms. Ramirez was there. Like your teacher really believed and like provided this space for y'all to be, right? And so let's talk about teacher mindset and belief, right? For me, I always say students know when you don't actually believe in them. You can pretend all day long, but they know when you are actually being genuine with them, right? And so you said something along the lines, all three of y'all during the presentation now, of just like Ms. Ramirez, like really creating this space for y'all, right? And believing in you all. So how do you know as a student, right? How do you know that a teacher actually believes in your capabilities?
I would like to share that. I'm not going to lie. I'll be very, very upfront and honest. I think it was like the first month of school that I had Ms. Ramirez as a teacher. I did not like her. And I think it's very, I have to point that out because again, like that was, and it had nothing to do with who she was as a person or like her teaching. It had everything to do with my dysfunctional relationship to school and teachers. There was like an incident where she told me to put my phone away and like, it was so much more than what it had seemed. So like in her perspective, I was a student disengaged in what she was talking about, but in my perspective, I was texting my sister about my grandfather who had cancer, and because there was no sort of like there was a discrepancy in what happened, we had no sort of like actual communication on the incident. I was just like, okay, whatever, and I walked out of class and sent myself to the dean's office. But again, like that had nothing to do with who she was as a teacher and like her teaching strategy. And it had everything to do with my like dysfunctional relationship to schools and teachers. But I think a part of what really made me realize that she had believed in my capabilities was it happened so many times. I bet like if you were to count or recall like this past week that you were teaching, if you taught, I don't know if you're on spring break or not, but I bet like 9 times out of 10, like a student will probably talk down on themselves or say something or whatever. There would be moments where if she heard you say something, like you'd be like, oh, I don't know, I'm not that good. Like, no, but I suck. Or like, she'd say, no, baby, you are so much better than that. Like, no, you are so much better than that. She would never let you talk down on yourself. Like, and it was the one thing that I had never experienced with any other teacher. Like most teachers learn to like tune it out. Whereas like she would be the teacher to like turn you down. Like, no, you need to tune that out. Like it was for me, she had like a way of making you feel seen. And when she would do that, it was just like, whoa, like, okay. Or even she would say like, if you were to talk about a moment with like another teacher, like, or something that you experienced that was just obviously an inequity or a moment that you had about like another teacher or other things going on in the building, she would say, no, you cannot let that slide. Like she would really sort of amp you up and have this like way of making you change your perspective and change your mindset. And it was like so nice to just be around a teacher who actually saw you for who you were and also allowed you to see yourself for who you are and not for what the norms that have been imposed on you by other teachers or other schooling systems or the pressure of society. Like it had everything to do with like who you are as a person. Like she really wanted you to flourish. And I think that was like the main difference between, or that's the main distinguish, like that's what distinguished her from my other English teachers in the past, and especially from like my math, science, and history teachers. So I think that's what really made me feel like she believed in me.
I think I will I think I'll talk more about, like, instead of an emotional kind of, like, emotionally telling us, like, she was there for us, I think I'll focus more on, like, the educational aspect, because at the end of the day, the means that we did meet each other on was education. I think that, like, for me, coming into high school, like, what I did in middle school was, like, you know, what typical middle school is, like, you know, you're learning about, like, your main claim, and, like, you're reading, like, small, like, chapter books, or, anything. Like, they're not, like, it's not anything, like, I mean, looking back, like, it wasn't, honestly, at the time, I was stumped with all of, like, my freaking assignments that I would have to do, but, like, me going into my freshman year of high school, I was, like, wow, like, I was not at all prepared for what I was gonna be, like, forced to deal with in her class. And I realized when she was talking about writing extended responses, and I was like, I've never done one of these in my life. She wants me to write one for homework? What's going on right now? And just like kind of after that, and then it came back, and I think, like, I tried really hard on it, and my feedback came back, and, like, I had gotten, like, a really good grade on it, and I was like, wow, like, I really just did that. And a couple of days ago, you couldn't even have mentioned me. Oh, yeah, you have to do this. So I think just a lot of the thing, like, for me, I think personally, it was a lot of, like, her knowing that, like, we could do it and kind of forcing us, I guess, to do it. Like, giving us the extra push and, like, okay, like, yeah, maybe you have never done this before, but, like, you have to, I guess, this might sound bad, but you have to go down in order to go up, I guess. Like, you have to meet, like, okay, wow, you're really struggling with this, so you can eventually get better with it. And I think for me, it was a lot of, like, all right, like, I would have never thought, like, my 14-year-old self would have never thought, like, I would be doing what I did in that class. But, like, looking back now, it was like, wow, like, had it not been for that class, like, I don't know, like, how my love of literature would have, like, birthed itself. Because generally, also, like, yeah, we had to do, like, certain curriculum reads, but I think a lot of the things I had to do as well with, like, what I really liked about, like, Ms. Marie's and her class, like, setup kind of, was that she would also, like, bring in her own text that she would pair with what we had to read. For example, like, we read a couple of poems, and, like, we had a lot of, like, class discussion. I feel like it was kind of more, like, I guess, college setup-y. It was a lot of, we had, like, work it out Wednesdays, which really helped a lot with my personal, like, I guess, confidence in speaking aloud, because I was coming out of middle school, I was super, like, I wasn't, like, introverted, really, but I was more, like, okay, like, quieter, like, I'll do what I'm told, like, I'm just gonna be quiet and like, do my homework. But then, like, going into this class, it was like, oh, like, you want me to talk, like, you want me to, like, what do you mean we're not doing anything on Wednesdays so that I can't talk and, like, I can say what I thought about the text? Like, I had never really done that before, and it was like, oh, okay, like, so the teacher actually wants to hear what I'm, like, what I think. Like, it's not just, oh, turn your assignment and then you're good. It was more like, no, like, let's talk about this, let's discuss it together. And like I said, for me, I think that was a really big difference. Like, in terms of, like, with my middle school and, like, just, like, education before that as well. And it was just a really good foundation for me in terms of that. And I think that was when I was like, okay, I love a good challenge. And after that, I was like, okay, if this was a challenge that I was, like, thankfully able to overcome, like, what else can I do? And then she was always there in my corner. Okay, what else can you do? Like, what else do you want to do? Like, how can we do that? And, you know, just always encouraging and giving me that leg up. And it was just thanks to that, like, I like to say I am where I'm at right now. So honestly, it was just that extra encouragement and that extra kind of, like, I guess, knowing that we could do what we probably wouldn't even think that we could do.
Yeah, I really, like, related to what both you guys said about just, you know, what the rigor does for you. Because, you know, I actually, like, somebody who had Ms. Ramirez also as a freshman, somebody who I have class with, she was talking about how her class was so hard that it's like, okay, I need to get my stuff together. And, you know, having that, like, as a freshman, you know, that's what it taught her. So that was, like, super cool to, like, hear, because I felt the same way. And then just, like, how, you know, I'm going to, from a student perspective, how extra it was, her curriculum. It's like, okay, there's no way she's having us do 11 presentations in a whole school year and having us do all of these work all of this work and all these extended responses so that just because she doesn't care. And then it's like she strayed from like what was intended so much. So like I think, you know, when you personalize your curriculum as a teacher, that's like super like a real indicator, because it's like, why else would you be doing this if you didn't care, you know? But it also like looks different for everybody. You know, I have one teacher who like, it's such a relief to come in their class. Like I get to come in, and if I don't feel like sitting down, I don't have to sit down. I can stand and just be there, or I sit on the floor, or whatever the case may be. And just also the way you talk to and about your students, like she'd use verbiage like brilliant, and it's like I always thought like, oh, this is such a strong word for her to be using, but she used it so frequently, like, oh baby, so brilliant, and like I'm just like, oh okay, whatever. But by the end I got like used to it, and then I'm like, oh, I actually like love it when she says that. And just like, you know, the, like, again, like Dulce touched on the emotional aspect of it. When you, like, actually support your students and believe in your students, they know by the way that you interact with them, by the way you treat them. So, like, I have one teacher. She's probably my favorite this year. She, like, when we went to NCTE the first time, we made business cards. Or no, that was another conference, but we made business cards in... we had 250 of them that Ms. Ramirez made for each of us. And I'm like, I don't have anything to do with these. So I just went around giving them to my teachers. And this teacher put my business card on her cabinet last year. And I'm just like, oh, my gee, is that my business card? And it's still there this year. So that was super special. So just like the way you interact with the students and just like the things that you do aside from education, with education, whatever, there are so many different ways to show your students that you care for them and that you believe in them.
Yeah, and just to like add on to what Ayla said about the rigor, I'm not trying to yap, but she definitely like had this expectation that like she knew we were capable. She knew we were capable. And then I remember freshman year that she made us, there was like a unit in English where we were reading this book, and we had to like we had to be the teachers and like teach a lesson. We had to do like show them videos, and like we just had to like give them texts, little worksheets. Like it was honestly one of the funnest times ever. It felt like I was a teacher and like I could teach like what I wanted to, kind of. Like she allowed us to have our own spin on education, and you wouldn't give that to a student you didn't trust. Like you wouldn't just let any student do that. So that's like kind of like, okay, yeah, she knows, like she really does like embrace us and like allows us to flourish. And that was like one of the first units, I think that was like October, so it was like really early on to the like school year. And it was honestly one of the funnest times I've ever had in English.
I'm speechless because I have so much to say. You know, one of the things that I tell adults all the time that I work with is that it really takes one adult to change the trajectory of a student's life, right? And either it's a positive or a negative one, but I don't know if y'all heard of like rap songs or performers and artists like writing and saying about like, this teacher told me I couldn't and now I'm showing up and I'm doing it, right? And it's like, yeah, a teacher's impact is so, so important, and it only takes that one adult to change that trajectory. And I think, Brianna, you said it, right? You said, like, without Ms. Ramirez, I don't think I would be here where I'm doing. I started out very much of an introvert and just compliance all the way, right? And then finding my voice because Ms. Ramirez provided this space for me. And I think that in itself is like just beautiful of you coming in there and being like, wait, you want me to talk? Like, you're actually going to listen to me? Little old me, you're going to listen to me? I can say whatever I want. And something that got me thinking is that, you know, your teacher provided a space where it was not passive learning. Y'all were actively learning, right? Like you had to actively learn. And I think that's a huge shift sometimes for teachers and students as well, right? Because sometimes it is a lot of passive. We are talking at students a lot of the times and y'all are just like bored out of your mind. Like, what am I doing here, right? And so like this whole emotional, being able to have a relationship based on like social emotional learning, right? Like really like checking in, figuring out who you are as a human being, and then also looking at education and like pushing you, right? And then giving you things that like, this is going to expand your brain and you're going to be frustrated and you're going to struggle with it. And I know you can do it. And I think Ayla said this best too, of like, you know, it was my freshman year and we, you know, we said like, oh my gosh, this is really difficult. I need to get it together. Because sometimes I hear students say, never mind, I don't want to do it. I'm a fail anyway, right? But like the difference between that is I think Ms. Ramirez created this space for y'all to be like, no, 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 I'm going to get it together. Like I actually want to do this thing, so I'm going to get it together. Like I'm not going to fail this one. Like I know you believe in me and I don't want to disappoint you, so I'm gonna do that, right? And so it's just, it's also a nice reminder too, Ayla, you were talking about how like the interactions, right? Like words are powerful. Like positive reinforcement goes a long way. And I think sometimes as adults, we forget this. Words of affirmation, like these are good things. These are actually the easiest and the cheapest things. Like I don't have to buy candy for you to like make you believe you're the greatest. I can just honestly say like, Brianna, this was amazing. This was a great piece of writing. You really showed your, you know, you really showed your evidence and like, really providing that words of affirmation is really important. This is something too that I, you know, teachers are always asking, like, how do you motivate your students? And I always say, I love on them. I love on them. And then I tell them how amazing they are because they are. And they're actually a lot more brilliant than I am. Like I will come up with some ideas that I think is like amazing. And all of them would be like, this is just trash. No, let's never talk about this ever again. Like let's shift that, right? And so I can only, gosh, y'all, I really hope my students talk fondly of me and not like, oh man, Miss D was not it. So I'm just like, I really hope that you get to share this with Ms. Ramirez so that she can hear this conversation again. And I know that you all tell her all the time how, impactful she's been in your life. So and this is just such a great reminder too, that like an educator's impact is really, really, really powerful. Okay. So we have a lot of educators and school leaders who listen to the podcast. Okay. So now as students, right, what would you like to tell them to better serve everyone and not just some? And especially with y'all thinking about activism and, you know, inequities that are happening in schools and really like positive interactions with students are really important. What would you tell, like what one thing would you tell educators and school leaders to create a better environment for all students?
I think something that I would say is kind of just like treating students as just like a number or like a stat or like just somebody else that comes and goes through the door. Because although like the teacher is like, I guess the more, this sounds like weird, but like the more permanent figure, I guess, because like they're the ones that are receiving the students and like kind of sending the students on to the next grade level, et cetera, et cetera. As much as like that, like impact that the teacher has like on the student, it's also like it goes both ways is what I'm saying. Like the student also has like a life of their own. They also have things going on. And although there's different like kind of levels, like obviously the student isn't going to be doing the same things that a teacher is going to be doing. It's still like, you really don't know what's going on. Like for anybody, there's a saying in Spanish. So it doesn't really translate that well, but I'll say it anyways. It's, caras vemos, corazones no sabemos, which is just like faces we see, hearts we aren't aware of, basically is what it translates to. But it's just like, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know what the student's going through, like none of that. And I think a lot of the times from what I've seen and maybe from what I've experienced as well, teachers assume that students just have school to worry about. And like in an ideal world, that would be the case, but a lot of the time it's not like that. And I think creating that space where it's like, yeah, like I see that you're human too. And I see that you may have things going on as well. Just like I'm human and I'm having things going on as well. And just creating that, like, I guess, I think for me, a lot of the things that got me mad a lot of the time in school was ageism. Like teachers think that they know so much and that they're like so like much better than the students, when it's like, bruh, like it's not, like I know you have a degree and I know you're here teaching me, but like we're literally like both humans. Like it's not, we're like literally the same person. It's not like, and like I think just making the students less at a lot of the time, and that really got me mad a lot, like growing up, because it was like, I know that I'm a lot younger, but that doesn't mean that I'm like less capable of like doing anything. And I know I don't have as much experience, obviously, but I mean, at my age, you didn't have as much experience either. So it isn't like, I don't know. I just don't think it's a lot of like fair playing ground in terms of like how teachers may treat students at times and how they may see them in terms of like being less than them or like not having, I guess, the role of a human and more of just like a star, like someone that takes up the chair in the classroom. So I think, like I said, just like humanizing the student and like making sure the student knows that they're being like seen and perceived and viewed as a human, as like kind of, because I know a lot of the time, and I got this idea from Ms. Ramirez too, actually, a lot of the time she always says, oh, like, you guys are teaching me so much. Like, I had never heard any teacher say that before. And she always said, you guys teach me something every day. Like, what? What? That's, like, mind-blowing. Like, yeah, that's insane to think about. Like I said, teaching, learning, both go hand-in-hand every day. It's what we do as humans. It doesn't have to have a title of a teacher or a student. It's just what we do as humans. It's our, like, innate ability to do that. And I think that a lot of the times that, like, relationship isn't there. And I think that's what lacks for students and for teachers alike, where it's like, yeah, the students may sometimes not even like the teachers because of that reason, because they're seen as like an authority figure, and the teachers may not like the students because it's like, oh, like, they're just students. But I think we just need to take that barrier away and just we're all just some humans for real.
Yo, say it louder for the people in the back, please.
Yes, I was thinking something along the similar lines of Bree, because I think humanizing students, you'd think like it would be a no-brainer, but for some people it's just not, and I think that's something we definitely need to work to change. So like, I know that when I'm in school and there are these teachers who like have their little sassy remarks or whatever, where they throw like shade, and they just make comments, and it feels like, would you make this to someone your age? Would you make this comment to someone your age? Would you like if somebody made this comment to you? You know, just a little simple things about like students as a whole, or something deteriorating about teenagers, a generalization, whatever the case may be. I think those are way too normalized, and I think that's something super, like, super significant that needs to be changed. But also, one thing I think of is, like, it also goes along with that theme of, like, treating students like people. What would a student want to do? You know, what do they think? Having their voices be heard. Because if their voices are heard in the curriculum, you know, that's super important. Like, my favorite essays were ones where I got to pick the topic I got to write about. And even, like, in the bigger things, like, if we take these surveys every year and we don't see changes, like, how does that make us feel? And then also, just knowing that if a student is enjoying what they do, then it will be much more efficient. And it won't be something that's, like, dreadful, like a lot of school can be sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like I want to say something that's basically along the lines of what you guys are saying, but I feel like a lot of people tell others, like, oh, you know, take it one day at a time, but I think administrators and teachers should take it, like, a student at a time. Again, like, humanizing the students. I read, like, an article, like, years back by the YMCA, where it was, like, the number one way to improve the school environment was by having, like, staff and student relationships and, like, improving upon those, like, really getting to know who your students are, like, what they're dealing with, like, outside of school, like, recognizing that they are actually not a machine that's supposed to produce loads of work. I know for me, like, my life got way easier after I really started talking to my teachers and letting them know what's going on, like, behind the scenes. Like, there's honestly so many students that I know who have, like, four younger brothers. They have to get them dressed, take them to school, get them breakfast, get them ready for school. Like, I know there's a girl who's working two jobs. She's trying to make ends meet for her mom, help her mom out. There's another girl who's probably working her butt off, trying to get everything that she wants because her parents can't provide it for her. Like, these, if we're talking about drive, if we're talking about ambition, like, these students really run circles around the teachers who are teaching us. Like, there's no way. And that's something that you just can't teach. Like, these students have so much, like, drive and ambition. Like, they want to learn. They really do have so much to, like, offer. Like, you're just not giving it to them. Like, you really need to give it to them. Give them the opportunity to really flourish. Like, really get to know them. Ask them how their day is. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them if they need a break. Like, get to know when they've had enough, like, when they can't, like, when they need that moment to decompress. And understand that once they decompress, they're right back at it. Like, they got it. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that I've always wanted, like, teachers and administrators to know. Like, these students, they're brilliant. Like, they may not be the best at math, but trust me, they're brilliant. They're brilliant in every other way possible. Like, that grade does not reflect who they are.
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, just going to echo what, like, Brianna just said, like, show, you know, create a space where you can show up as you are, and voice whatever it is that you need, right? Like, the ageism thing is real. It really is, because we hear time and time again, like, oh, we can't possibly listen to these students. They're young. They don't know any better. Their brains haven't developed yet. And it's like, yes, and we also can continue to learn from our students, because their experiences are different than ours. And so what they have to say is also just as important because of the experiences that they are going through, right? And then going back to, like, saying, like, everybody is really a learner. That is, like, a consistent forever thing. Just like activism and just fighting and advocating for rights, right? Like, that is going to be an ongoing thing. You being a learner is also going to be an ongoing thing. There's so much in this world that you don't know. And so instead of pretending to know everything, might as well just open it up and say, like, actually, I don't know anything. And so teach me all the things, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, yes, you have this leadership, this title of a teacher, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are the end all be all. Ayla, you were talking about how you can basically pick and choose what you're writing about. And I bet you that argumentative essay on Love is Blind is bomb. And I bet you it's going to be something, as an educator, I would have loved to read. And you probably crushed all of the parts of an argumentative essay because you are just, like, super passionate about this topic. And it's so relevant that it's happening right now, right? And so, and I mean, like, as an educator too, like, if my kids wrote about the same thing and I have 30 of them to read and grade, I would hate that. I would also be bored out of my mind trying to grade that. And especially with someone, I have ADHD, like, there's no way I can do that. So, like, really creating a space, like, choose what you're passionate about. This is the skills that we're learning. And then you get to, like, create this content that you want to showcase what you're learning. And I love that part. And then Dulce, you were talking about this drive and ambition. Everybody has drive and everybody has ambition. It just looks different. And I think sometimes in education, we just want it to look a certain way. And then we call that drive and ambition, right? And it's like, no, 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 no. There's so many different ways to show up. Just because it doesn't show up as you doesn't mean that they're not doing it. That doesn't mean that they're not driven, that they're not ambitious, right? It's just a different way of showing up. And so, and something that I was thinking about too, is that these are life skills, y'all, right? Like, being able to determine, like, body language and, like, you know, trying to see, like, how folks are doing without verbally asking, but then also creating a space where you can verbally ask each other if they're okay. And then also creating a space for people that you love to just show up as they are. If they need a break, they can go take a break without being reprimanded. If they need to go and do something else, that's okay, right? Like, I know for a fact you're going to go back to this thing and we're going to learn together. And so really creating this space is just really, really, really dope to hear from you three. And it makes, I think it just, again, confirms for me that, like, okay, like, I'm on the quote unquote right path, right? Of, like, creating a this positive teaching and learning environment for the folks that I work with. And so, okay, before we wrap up, I do want to touch something. Brianna, you are in college. What do you wish you would have known or wish you would have done prior to getting to college?
I think I wish I would have known that I was going to feel exactly the same way that I was, that I had felt before beginning Ms. Ramirez's class as a 14-year-old again, but in all of my classes and just all across the board. Like, I think that a lot of the times with ageism specifically, we really kind of highlight like, oh, like, no, you know, like kids don't get it, or like when they're younger, they don't get it. But realistically, we're all just going through the same phase in our lives in different manners. Like, it, like how we say nowadays, it's like same thing, different font, because it's just us at a different points in our lives. But I kid you not, I felt so, I like transported back into time to my 14-year-old self. And I was like, how am I going to do all this work? How am I going to, like, I don't know any of this, like any of what we're doing right now. And I'm expected to, you know, finish the quarter. Maybe it's week one and I'm already struggling. What's going on? But again, like I said, in terms of like the phases and stuff like that, I loved Ms. Ramirez's class my freshman year, even though it was cut a little short because of COVID. But I entirely loved all of it from when I was in it. And like looking back now, like my first quarter, the transition definitely was hard. And I think something that I would also notice that change was okay. And like, I love change personally, but when in the moment, I tend to not kind of like really enjoy the change. And I was kind of overwhelmed in terms of that aspect. In terms of like my like the education aspect of it, I was also like, wow, like, whoa, like this is kind of a lot. Like, what am I going to do? But again, like I said, like it was exactly like I had felt beginning Mr. Ramirez's class. It was like, okay, this is not like high school. I have to like, this is kind of what Ayla was talking about earlier. Like, instead of me being like, wow, like, I'm not going to do it. I'm just like, I can't. It was more like, wow, like, this is a challenge that I have ahead of me. Like, all right, I got to get my shit together. Like, come on, let's go. Like, let's put the big girl pants on and get the show running, because we're not here to play, right? So I think for me, a lot of it was like, all right, like, you're going to, it's a big transition that may come at different levels in terms of like with classes and stuff like that, but it's going to happen eventually. And I think for me, it was like, kind of difficult to acknowledge that it was going to be like that across the board and not just like in one aspect of my life, because although it was with education, like for the most part, or like on paper, it would like, yeah, obviously it's a different level of education, but it was more like, all right, like you're moving out of home, like you're going to do this, like you're going to be on campus like every day, like it's not like, like you don't have your mom next door when you get home, like it's not, it's just totally different. And I think for me, a lot of that was just kind of like, because I'm a big family person, and a lot of it was like, and I'm not even that far, but a lot of it was still like, all right, like you're not gonna go home every day. Like, and even though I had a lot of activities still in high school and I would come home kind of late, but it was still like I came home to them. And now it was like, all right, like you're coming home to something different, and your home is different. What you call home is not what you've always called home. And I think what you called like kind of like your education as well is gonna look totally different now. So I think just being okay with the change for me was like, I guess the biggest thing. But like I said, I also really like change. So it was a really good experience for me. But again, it's something that I still feel like it's not, it hasn't really kind of set in entirely. I don't think it's just something that it's just like, all right, like first quarter was done. Like I'm used to it. No, not at all. I think every quarter is like, it's more like, it's more every quarter, I feel like. Because like last quarter, it was like, okay. But finals were like, okay. And then the first quarter was like, eh. And I'm hoping next quarter it'll be like, all right, like you're getting the hang of it a little more now. But it's still like a learning process. And I think I live by the everything happens for a reason motto. And I think that in terms of that aspect, it's like if it's going to happen, it's meant to happen. And it's just taking it one day at a time, like Luz has said, and just taking the things that come the way they come. So I think just acceptance with what, like, the way things are, but also don't let the acceptance kind of hinder your motivation and, like, your actual will to, like, do exactly what you want to do and, like, do it to the extent that you want to do it. Just the best, the best that you can do. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge adjustment, right? Like, I was also very much of a family person growing up, and then knowing that, like, oh, snap, I got all this freedom, about to turn out. Right. No, you need to chill. Like, no study.
What do you mean you're going to sleep till 3 a.m. talking with your friends next door? No, girl, go to bed. Go to bed. You've got class at 9 a.m.
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, you know, balance, right? Balance. Right. Like, So definitely have a blast in college and have so much fun and learn all the things, because that's so, so, so dope. And so Brianna, what, it sounds like a lot of, you know, the whole, I need to figure this out, right? I need to get it together. I feel like there's a lot of self-directness, right? Like you have to be a self-directed learner to figure out like what you need to learn, right? So I love that. And I just want to say that out into the universe of just like creating learners that are self-directed is really important too, right? Where you're not waiting for the teacher to tell you what to do, but you're actually like going after what you need to learn. And so right. I like that. So Brianna, what are you majoring in?
Okay. So like I said, I'm also very indecisive as well. So I have a lot of interests. I love everything across the board. Like if I could major in everything, I would. I generally would major in everything if I could. But as of right now, I'm thinking I'm going to major in political science or global studies, and then double major with romance languages and literature.
Yes, I love that.
Thank you. Thank
okay,
you.
That's really dope. You got to keep me posted. Ayla, Dulce, what are y'all plans for after high school? Because, you know, college ain't for everybody. But so I don't want to assume and say like y'all are going to college. But like, what are your plans after high school? Because you got a year and a half left. That's wild.
Yeah, it is coming up pretty fast. Like, you know, that whole like CrestBridge scholars or college prep scholars, it's like coming up, that deadline. Yikes. Basically, I've always wanted to go to the University of Chicago, especially because of Ms. Ramirez. She's always just been this like amplifier of education. Like I've always wanted I want education. The way she talks about the University of Chicago is like the exact same way like we talk about Ramirez. Like it's always like, oh my god, like I want to go there. But I'm definitely open to like going to like Oberlin or Vanderbilt, like Notre Dame, like all those schools. Like they've just always piqued my interest. I definitely want to go to college. I'm so indecisive again on what I want to major in. Like Brianna, like I've always wanted to be like, oh, law, political science, like be a poli sci major. But now I kind of want to like major in psychology. I want to be like a child psychologist, or I also want to like take a course in linguistics. I kind of want to double major in linguistics. And then I also want like maybe a minor in political science. I have no idea. I'll probably figure it out when I get there, but very curious to see where the world takes me, but I'll let it take me wherever.
Yeah. And I say definitely really look into psychology because we need more women of color. My sister who's graduating college is taking up psychology. And so I was like, yes, we need more Filipinas in this industry. Like it was so tough for me to find a Filipina therapist. So like definitely, yes, I love that. I'm not going to pressure you. That's a great option. Ayla, what about you? What's your plans after high school?
Oh, I just have no idea. I want to go to college because not only do I just love education, but I love, like, just being places. I don't know. It's just, I'm excited. Like, I love sports. So I was thinking I may be a sports analyst, and I also want to be a teacher. So I'd probably teach, like, high school English or history, because I just love history, and I think history teachers are like some of the smartest teachers. But I'm really good at English, so I don't know. There's so many things I want to do. I know that I'll just start by going into college and seeing where it takes me. I don't know.
Yeah. Again, Ayla, we need more Black and, you know, Indigenous and people of color who are teaching history, because I feel like I definitely did not learn the type of history I needed to learn in school. So yes to education and being a part of that. And so I'm so excited again to just hear from you three. Like I didn't think this is going to happen. So it just like brightens up my whole day, my whole month that this is actually happening. And this is my birthday. It's going to actually publish on my birthday. So this is a great birthday surprise.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah, thank you. And just again, just so, 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 so exciting to be in this space with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brianna, Ayla, and Dulce. Listeners, remember, you can always email us at podcast@modernclassrooms.org. And you can find the show notes for this episode at podcast.modernclassrooms.org/181. We'll have this episode's transcript uploaded by Friday, so be sure to check back to access those. Also, we are asking our listeners to leave a review if this podcast has been helpful in supporting you to create a human-centered learning environment, which is something that we were talking about. Humanizing learning, y'all. Let's humanize it. We are not just machines. And that actually goes with teachers. Okay, I'm going to stop. Because it also goes with teachers, right? Because I'm sure what y'all are saying is essentially what educators are saying as well, of like, we also want autonomy. We also want our voices to be heard. We also want a space to be, you know, to be created for us so that we can be brave and we can make all the mistakes without every, you know, without ever being reprimanded. And so, y'all, leave a review if you can. It does help other folks find it. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Sunday. Y'all are the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. It really meant a lot.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find links to topics and tools we discussed in our show notes for this episode. And remember, you can learn more about our work at www.modernclassrooms.org, and you can learn the essentials of our model through our free course at learn.modernclassrooms.org. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Modern Class Proj, that's Proj. We are so appreciative of all you do for students and schools. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Sunday with another episode of the Modern Classrooms Project podcast.